Well, good morning again, and welcome to Christmas Eve. Good evening. I'm doing the same thing as Seth. It's catchy. Good evening, and welcome to Christmas Eve. It's Christmas Eve, and we're going to take a look at God's gift of light. Well, we made it so far. What a year this has been. And I bet y'all are thinking I'm going to talk about COVID. No. Well, not yet. What about the presidential election? It has been so presidential? I don't know. And it isn't over yet. Right, wrong, or indifferent, hold on, because the ride ain't over yet. Then, of course, there's sports. Everything's been turned upside down. The Ravens are in the hunt to find their way into the postseason. Last Sunday, they had a blowout over Jacksonville. The week before was a nail-biting slugfest against the Cleveland Browns, which one spectator said was the game of the year to watch, which leaves them in the position of needing to win the last two games of the season they have to play against the New York Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals, and in need of a little help from, of all teams, pains me to say it, the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Steelers need to win at least one of their last two games, and they've lost three in a row against either the Colts or the Browns next week. In other words, we have to root for the Steelers. To our resident Steeler fans, Tamsin and Amy, I never thought I'd say, go Steelers. It pains me to say it. Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. And of course, there is our ever-present COVID-19. Or whatever new strain happens to be coming that's maybe more infectious from Europe these days. This pandemic has changed everything, even at the youngest level. My granddaughter Evelyn is 3. Now, I should make a correction. Apparently, 2 weeks ago when I spoke on joy, I kept referring to my grandchildren as my children. Kill me now if I have children at my age. I don't think so. They are my grandchildren. Now, while we share a house with them and their parents, I do get to send them home to their side of the house from time to time, though that rarely happens, unless we are taking a video call for work, which is where I was headed next. My granddaughter Evelyn is 3. Earlier this week, her mother was laying down in bed and her brother and sister were outside playing. Evelyn went to the schoolroom, yet another COVID convenience, and took her sister's cell phone eraser phone out of the top desk. She then climbed into bed with her mother, where she said, "Shh, I'm about to have a phone conference," and then proceeded to stare at the phone in as adult a fashion as she possibly could as she had a conversation with the phone. What a year. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Well, hang on, it ain't over yet. Let's pray. We'll see what God has for us this evening. As we do so, we want to remember Jim Gorman, that is Bob Kemp's brother-in-law. He has been in a long battle with multiple system atrophy, and it is near time for him to go home, finally home to heaven. Father, we thank you for your presence here with us tonight. We thank you that you have come into this world in your Son, Jesus Christ, that there is light in this dark place. We thank you that we can call you Father. We thank you for your presence here this evening with us. Father, shed that light within our hearts, in our communities, our neighborhoods, our state, and this country. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. A pastor was preaching on Christmas Eve, and his sermon was, well, quite long. His thoughts were scattered. He rambled on, and it was difficult to follow. When he was greeted after the service, one sweet, kind elderly parishioner surprised him when she commented, "Pastor, your sermon tonight reminded me of God's peace and love." The pastor was flattered. "Really?" he said. He asked, "How so?" "Well, it reminded me of God's peace in the way it surpassed all understanding. And it reminded me of God's love because it seemed to endure forever. I'd like to share with you some thoughts tonight, and while I'm all about God's peace and love, I do hope to avoid both of those pitfalls." There is a story about an old Jewish man who would get up at the break of dawn and go to the Western Wall in Jerusalem, also called the Wailing Wall. And he would pray fervently from morning to evening. One day, a journalist from the London Times, who had observed him doing this from day to day, asked him, "You come every day to the wall. How long have you done this, and what are you praying for?" The old man replied, "I have come here to pray every day for 25 years. I pray for peace and reconciliation among the people of this land who are so divided by hate and conflict." The journalist was amazed. "How does it make you feel to come every day for 25 years and pray for these things when so much conflict remains?" The old man looked at her sadly and said, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Every year, around this time, we hear scripture passages. We sing Christmas carols about peace on earth, goodwill toward men. We light candles, which we will do tonight. And we sing Silent Night, all is calm, all is bright. And it's beautiful, maybe even nostalgic for many of us. But does it really make any difference? You look at the world around us and you see the unrest, the violence, the pain and brokenness, and you wonder, is peace really possible? Is there ever going to be any light in this dark world? Or you look at our nation still reeling from the aftershocks of one of the most contentious election cycles in modern history, and it ain't over yet. Will there be peace in this country? You've seen the deep divisions across this country, perhaps in your own community and neighborhood, in workplaces, in your homes, maybe even in your family. Is peace really possible? Of course, we don't need to look much further to see signs of pain and brokenness than within. We can look within ourselves, and we can find restlessness in our own hearts. The divisions within. We feel the ache, the longing for something more, for our lives to be well and whole. Is peace really possible? We can pray for peace within ourselves, our relationships, our nation and the world. We can yearn for it. But after a while, you do wonder, if you're just talking to a wall, is anyone listening? Or as one peace advocate put it, you can feel like you're banging your head against a wall. And if you're lucky, maybe you make a small crack. The walls that divide us are so strong. So strong. The world is not yet as it is supposed to be. It is not the way it is supposed to be. Of course, you didn't need me to tell you that. You already know that truth, and your feeling is justified. Our lives are not the way they are supposed to be. God had something else in mind. It was in His mind at the beginning when He went about creating the world and everything in it, a vision for shalom, a Hebrew word that means peace. It usually gets translated peace, but it means so much more. What more does it mean? Well, it means wholeness. It means flourishing, the interconnectedness of all things, the way things are intended to be. It means a right relationship with God, a right relationship with others, a right relationship with all of creation. But sin made a mess of things, disrupting this peace, this shalom, fracturing those relationships. And up went the walls. Walls all around us, walls between us, walls within us. Our own hearts are divided. But God refused to leave this world in a mess, fractured and broken. He refuses to have a world with so many walls. So what did God do? He came to fix it in the flesh, so to speak. And I can think of no other verse that seems more relative for us today than Isaiah 9:2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. God entered and still enters into the mess, the darkness, the brokenness of our lives. God comes to be among the walls. God calls a people to be His covenant people, a light to the nations. To those He calls, He says these words in Matthew, "You are the light of the world, the world's light, a city on a hill, glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see so that they will praise your heavenly Father." Sometimes we live up to that calling. Much of the time we don't. But God's intent is to pull this world back together. And He wants to do it through you and I, through those of us who believe. to break down the walls, to restore his peace, to bring that peace. That would not have been my plan. The last person I would trust with anything that important would be me. But this is God's plan. So Isaiah tells us about God's plan. He says these words in Isaiah 7. He says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel, God with us." Isaiah 9, he says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. These will be his royal titles, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And here's what the future holds. His ever-expanding, peaceful government will never end. He will rule with perfect fairness and justice. What a change that will be. From the throne of his father David, he will bring true justice and peace to all the nations of the world. Why is this going to happen? This is going to happen because the Lord of heaven, of heaven's armies, has dedicated himself to do it. He himself will accomplish this, will get it done. He talks about a child who will be a light in the darkness, a Messiah, a Savior, who will come to draw the world back together, draw people back to God, usher in God's peace for all people, for all the nations. He has a name, Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel, which means God with us, Jesus, which means God saves. And he has a face, the scrunched up, ruddy face of an infant, so helpless and vulnerable, born into straw and poverty to a teenage mom and her fiancé. Maybe some of you are afraid of God, but Jesus Christ came not to earth to scare us, but to save us. You ever wonder why God came as a baby? Of all the ways that God could have come, why did he choose to come as a human baby? So that we could relate to him, so that he could relate to us on a level we could understand. If God wanted to relate to cows, he would have come as a cow. If he wanted to relate to birds, he'd have come as a bird. But he wanted to relate to us, human beings, so he came as a human being, as a baby. I can relate to that. I can look at that, and I can relate. And he's bringing another kingdom, the one Isaiah speaks of in the line of David, Israel's greatest king, a kingdom of peace, where righteousness and justice meet in peace. A peace and light that is not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of something more, of justice, of beauty, of goodness, of wholeness, of God's very spirit. John tells us, his is a light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Anyone afraid of the dark? Afraid to raise your hand? Oh, good, I got a couple hands. Look at that. I'm not alone. Well, we all have fears, right? I mean, what man wants to admit that he's afraid of the dark? But we have irrational fears, all of us. Spiders, confined spaces, whatever it may be. For me, one of mine, I'm man enough to admit it, is a little bit of being afraid of the dark. I can't explain it, but when I wake up in the middle of the night and I walk down the hall, I get very jumpy. I start imagining the terrible things that are about to attack me from behind, that I can't see, a monster that's going to jump out, a pack of mice that might run across my feet, a toy that I just might stub my toe on, something. My imagination goes wild because my sense of sight is not functioning enough to tell me that this is being ridiculous. It's the unknown, I think, that makes the dark so scary. Even if you're not afraid of the dark, you can probably agree that darkness is uncomfortable. It is uncomfortable. It fills the moment with nervous anxiety. It is disorienting. It is sometimes paralyzing. Now, when I was a child, the vampire soap opera called Dark Shadows came on TV. Channel 45, I think, if I remember correctly. Technically, I wasn't allowed to watch that show. I'm sure my mom would be surprised to know that I probably caught most every episode. Let me tell you, that did not help with the dark, not at all. In the middle of summer when it was 90 degrees at night, it was even hotter in my bedroom where I slept on the top bunk. Only my parents had air conditioning. We, the children, were left to die of heat stroke. I wanted to see if they, I think they were trying to whittle us down and thin out the herd, survival of the fittest. Who would make it to the morning? All we had was one window and a small fan. In spite of that, I kept the sheets wrapped tight around my neck. No one was going to bite my neck in the middle of the night. We look forward to a brighter day. Amen? John tells us in Revelation, and he's talking about the new heaven and the new earth and God's kingdom. But all is set right. And he says these words, Revelation 21, 23. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. Revelation 22, 5. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. Christmas is a celebration of God fulfilling his plan, a plan that he had from the beginning of time, a plan that Jesus announced when he began his public ministry. Mark records these words, "A time has come," Jesus says. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe." The good news. The good news is that God has a plan, and it is a plan of light in which the walls come down, a plan of peace between God and man, and we can finally be at peace with God, forgiven and put back in a right relationship. And by repenting and believing, we can experience peace with one another, overcoming our dividedness and moving toward one another in love and understanding. And nations will be weapons into plowshares and stop warring against each other. That time is coming. This child brings peace. He makes this peace, which seems impossible, possible. The Swiss theologian Karl Barth called this the impossible possibility. In our own striving and effort, we cannot do this, but God is able to do what we cannot. This child grew up into a man, fully God and fully man, and he laid down his life in a sacrifice of love, only to burst forth 3 days later and to be crowned Lord of all, the impossible possibility. And now, even now, because of that impossible possibility, the world can really be different. The Apostle Paul declares it this way in Ephesians. He's talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, and he says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross. He has come to create one new humanity and make peace." No wonder the angels shouted out on that first Christmas day, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth." Yes, it really is possible on earth, peace among those whom he favors. The movie Joyeux Noël tells the true story of the famous Christmas Eve truce of 1914. Kaiser William II had sent thousands of Christmas trees to the front lines in order to boost the morale of the troops. After the trees were set up over the trenches in sight of the enemy lines, a German soldier began to sing Silent Night. His strong tenor voice pierced the cold, wintry night as enemy armies sat in their trenches, gripping their rifles. Worship team, you can make your way back up. "Silent night," he sang. "Holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Sleep in heavenly peace." Soon the French and Scottish troops, huddled in their separate barracks, began to sing along in their own languages. Then something remarkable happened. Slowly, soldiers from all sides began to climb out of their trenches without their weapons. They engaged each other in conversation, exchanged gifts, and then participated in Christmas Eve Mass together. In the movie, a fictional character has added a world-class soprano to sing along with a great tenor, but it was the beauty of the gospel that made up the content of their song, that broke through the political dividing walls of hostility and united those sworn enemies in joy and tears. Jesus came as a baby to grow up, to live, to be fully God and fully man, so that we might see the light of hope in this dark world. In him was life, John says, and that life was the light of all mankind. In this child born in Bethlehem, a kingdom of peace has come. I have come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. A kingdom of peace that is not yet complete. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out on us to join God in this work of peace that he is doing in the world. Believe in the light while you have the light, so that you may become children of light. You are the world's light, a city on a hill glowing in the night for all to see. Don't hide your light. Let it shine for all. Let your good deeds glow for all to see, so that they will praise your heavenly Father. Blessed are the peacemakers, Matthew says, for they will be sons and daughters of God. Let it begin with each of us. Let it begin with our own hearts. What is possible for us, impossible for us, is now made possible through God. Faith Fellowship, may God give us courage to bear witness to the impossible possibility of a different kind of world, to a way of peace that is not only possible in this world, but is right there for our taking simply by believing. A peace that will bring all earth back under God's rule, where what is done in heaven, his will also be done here on earth. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Faith Fellowship, know that God is for you and not against you. We're going to end with Silent Night.